So here we are on Daf Tesamid Aleph. We already turned to Tesamid Beis, but let's go back to Daf Tesamid Aleph. And we'll review Ravina. We're still talking about Machlok Shin, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Rabbi Meir holds that in the case of Motzi Shemra, there's no possibility of a capital case of a Dina Nefashos, and hence all we need are three judges, as we always do in a monetary case, because there's a monetary discussion about the Ksuba, there's going to be a discussion about the Knas. In the case of the Ksuba, it's the husband who's being Tovea his wife. In the case of Knas, it's the father who's being Tovea his son-in-law, the Baal. But Rabbi Meir reduces it all to monetary law. We're not dealing with dinei nefashos. And the reason for that is because the case is such that the testimony could only be valid for a monetary case, but not for dinei nefashos. And the reason for that, says Ravina, and understanding Rabbi Meir, is because of the principle of Rabbi Akiva, which is called Nimtza Echad Mehem Karov Opasol. And those five words you have to memorize. I mean, there's just no way out. Nimtza Echad Mehem Karov Opasol, actually six words if you count the O. That means, as we called it yesterday, one bad apple spoils the bunch. So you could have 100 Edim in this cot, in this unit, one of which is a Karov or Opasol, and we're going to have to throw out the entire cot. We cannot rely on the testimony of 99 kosher edim. Why? Because they came as one unit, as one entity. And Rabbi Akiva derives this from a hekesh in the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Al pishnayim edim o shlosha edim yumas hames." And why did the Torah have to mention shlosha edim? If two witnesses are sufficient, why did the Torah have to say three witnesses? And the answer is, just like in the case of two witnesses, if one of the two witnesses turns out to be a Karov Opasol, what are we left with?
One.
Only one witness. That's not good enough. So too, in the case of three witnesses, if one of the three witnesses turns out to be a Karov Opasol, even though you would have logically said we're left with two witnesses, why not adjudicate the case based on two kosher witnesses? No, we have to throw out the entire cot. And in the context of Rabbi Akiva, we have a concept called Tziruf Kat, which means that we take two witnesses and we put them together into an entity, and now we're going to add the third witness and inject him or integrate him into this cot. The question is, what is the agency that generates this tziruf kot? And that's going to be the subject of our discussion this morning, Emir Tzashem, as we go through the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says that the Torah is coming to tell us that Nimtza Echad Mehem Karov Opasol a Dusam B'Tela, we throw out the entire cot because of the existence of one single Opasol in the cot. And now we have the following qualification. When did Rabbi Akiva make this statement? When does the Eidus depend upon all or nothing? They all have to be kosher. Or else we throw out the Eidus, Om Rav Yossi, that's only B'dinei Nefashos. And that you'll see on Daf Tesamid Aleph, four lines up before the end of the page. Does everybody have it? Daf Tesamid Aleph, four lines up before the end of the Daf. Om Rav Yossi, Bamed Varm Amurim, when do we apply the principle of Rabbi Akiva derived from this Hekesh, O Shlosh Eidim? That Nimtzechem and Karov Apostle do some betela, that we throw out the entire cat because of the existence of one single apostle. That's only in Dinei Nefashos. The Torah ups the ante and raises the bar on the regulations and the kashrus of Eidus as far as capital cases are concerned, Dinei Nefashos. And the Torah requires that you have to have an absolute kashrus here with no admixture at all, psul, that all the Eidim unanimously, every single last one of them is kosher. That's only in Dinei Nefashos. But in Dinei Mamonos is Tiskayim Eiduso Eidus Bishar. Okay, we want to interpret those three words. Tiskayim Eidus Bishar, which means that the Eidus can be can be maintained, tiskayim, you can maintain the validity of the witnesses, bishar, with the rest of the eidim. Again, we're going to have two witnesses, but we can get rid of, we can cut out, 97 or 98 out of the 100 witnesses, and we're left with two or three witnesses. As long as those two or three witnesses are kosher, we have a good investment over here. That and the enterprise is still valid. Only in dinei mamonos. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. That's in monetary law. So imagine if you had three witnesses to testify against this woman that she had this illicit relationship. We could not put it to death if one of those three witnesses was a karav apostle, but we can still use the other two witnesses to rely on them as far as hefsek ksuva, meaning as far as a monetary case is concerned. So this would be Rabbi Meir's approach. Rabbi Meir's approach would be the following. The Baal comes in and he accuses his wife of having this illicit relationship. He wants to be mafsid on the ksuva. He brings in three witnesses to testify that they witnessed her having this relationship. Well, guess what? One out of the three witnesses is a relative or is disqualified under any of the other categories of psuliedus. Counseling Rabbi Meir and says, all we need is three judges. Why does Rabbi Meir hold we only need three judges, Rabbi Osai? Because as far as Dini Nefashis is concerned, we're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Akiva Nimtzeh Meyam what? Karav Apostle Dusan, help me out here, Be'etela. So therefore there's no possibility of a Dini Nefashis case. But we still have two Eidim Cherim that could adjudicate the Dini Mamonos is concerned. So if he wants to be Mafsid of the Ksuba, then that's fine. We have three judges. Let's go ahead. We're the Eidim. Well, two out of the three Eidim were kosher. The third Eid was apostle. One bad apple spoils the bunch. The answer is Nipsach and Makar apostle only applies for Dine Nefashos. But in Dine Mamonos, even though it's Nipsach and Makar apostle, is Tiskayim Eidusam Bishar. We really have now a valid approach to understand our Mishnah of Rabbi Meir, why three judges are sufficient. But now we're stuck with the following problem. What about the Chachamim? Do the Chachamim not know about Rabbi Akiva? Certainly Rabbi Akiva, in the case of Dini Nefashos, I mean, you have to grant me a Dini Nefashos, if one of the Eidim is a Karav Apostle, we have the Hekish of Rabbi Akiva, is Nitzachim and Karav Apostle, Eidusim B'Tela, we have to invalidate the witness, the whole kit and caboodle because of the existence of one Apostle. So why would the Chachamim and our Mishnah say, Nain, we need 23 judges? And the answer is, Rebbe Omer. It's Rebbe on the one hand is going to extend and expand the principle of Rabbi Akiva, and he's going to apply it even to Dini Mamonos. Echad Dini Mamonos, v'echad Dini Nefashos. We have an equation between monetary cases and corporeal case and capital cases, and we're going to in both cases say that Nimtzeh Echad Karav Apostle is a Dusam B'Tela. But on the other hand, Rebbe himself whittles it down. And he asks the question of the Amosai. When do we say, under what conditions does one bad apple spoil the bunch? And now he's going to whittle it down, he's going to restrict it. Because imagine the following scenario. This is what we discussed yesterday at the end of Shia. Imagine three people are witnessing a murder case. And one of them is, and two out of the three are relatives. You know, let's say the two brothers and a third party who's not related. Well, one of the two brothers could join up with the third aide who's not related, and he could testify against this person in a murder trial, and we would rely on their aide. But the problem is, if there are three witnesses here, one of them is a relative, then by definition, there's an Nimtzeh and Karav Apostle. So what's going to happen in this case? Rabosai, imagine, a murder is taking place, Rahman al-Itzlan, in the presence of three witnesses. They're all kosher in them themselves, so the problem is that two of them are related to each other. Is there any way that we can circumvent the problem of Nimtzeh and Karav Apostle? Is there any way we could say that one of these three Eidim is not part of the Kat? And this takes us back to the original concept that we mentioned called Tziruf Kat. That it's not automatic that all the three witnesses who saw the crime being committed are part of the Kat. There are conditions that have to be met in order to qualify as a candidate to be part of the Kat. Again, in the case of the American democracy and the Democratic Party, there are no conditions. Everyone's part of the pot. Okay, anybody could decide I'm running for president of the United States. But in the case of Eidus, not everyone could become an aide. Just because you walk by, what do they call it? There's a word for it in American slang. When you walk by and you know, like for example, when they're digging into the building, you know, they want to create... They blast away in order to create the foundations of a tall skyscraper, and everybody stands around watching.
Gawking.
What are they called? Gawking.
Gawking.
How do you pronounce? How do you spell that?
G-A-W-K.
G-A-W-K. Gawking. Or like with cars, you know, they call it rubbernecking. You remember that?
Right.
So there are a bunch of spectators who will go by. You know, something is happening. You know, here in this country, it's usually a demonstration. You know, so everybody wants to see what's going on. You know, the police beating whose arms are they breaking? You know, the police are very brutal in this country. You don't want to know from them. So people like to walk by. They're very, you know, they're very curious, and curiosity killed the cat. They have no intention of testifying. So you're going to tell me that everybody out there who sees the crime is part of the cat? No, he doesn't become part of the cat just simply because he saw the crime. There's got to be a mitzaref. There's got to be some sort of a, what did we call it yesterday, a catalyst? What was the word we used? Some sort of an agency that makes him part of the cat. So that's what Rebbe wants to know. You know, you have these three people witnessing a murder case, and two of them are related to each other. If we can assume that just because all three of them witnessed the crime, therefore they're all part of the cat, and there's definitely a karov here, then we're going to have to throw out the whole business. I mean, how are we going to take a person to trial for a murder case, and where are the witnesses? Because amongst the 1,000 people who witnessed the crime, the two of them were related to each other. The answer is that there's going to be a condition. That's the answer to the question, me'emasai. You want to underline the word me'emasai. At what point do you say that the karov is part of the kat? What's the mitzaref here? So the answer to this question, according to Rebbe, this is a unique sheet of Rebbe. Rebbe Yossi never bought into this. Rebbe says that you have to do something active to indicate that you are coming not as a gawker, did I get that right? But rather as a witness. How do you actively demonstrate, you know, what do you do? You take out a foghorn and you say, oh, I'm going to be a witness in this case. No. The answer is hasra. Emasai. Bizman shehisru bahem. If the third witness, like the other two witnesses, gave a hasra, then he's demonstrating that he intends to testify in this case. And in fact, he showed up in Bezda to testify. He was good for the money. Then Rabbi Akiva applies the principle of Nimsa Echav and Karav Apostle. But if he decides, I'm not going to give hasra, and therefore he doesn't reveal and demonstrate that he wants to be part of the kat, then that breaks up the tziruf kat, that undermines the tziruf kat. He's outside the kat, and therefore we don't even have to ask the question whether there's a karav apostle. When do we ask the question of a karav apostle? When we have a kat that's made up of X number of witnesses, and they all are part of the kat. They qualify, they're interested in testifying, and now we have to put each one under the microscope and decide whether to investigate whether they're kosher apostle. If we find one of them to be apostle, that's it. But who are we investigating? Only those who are part of the kat. Comes along Rebbe and he says, you know what? In order to be part of the kat, in order to apply for membership in the kat, you know, push in your thing, your clock in your time, you have to give asra. If you didn't give asra, and therefore if you take a look here at the end of the Gemara, if we'll take a look, I'm just going to fast forward for a second to the top of Daf Tesamid Beis. We'll get back to Tesamid Alpha in just a second. We now have an answer. We have resolution to the problem of Ma'yasu Shnei Achim Echad Shara Bi Echad Shaharigas HaNefesh. Shara Bi Echad Shaharigas HaNefesh. What are we going to do with two brothers who are amongst three witnesses that saw Reuven killed Shimon? The answer is one of those two brothers is not going to give asra. When he doesn't give asra, he pulls himself out of the Eidus. He becomes a gawker. He becomes a rubbernecker. He's a spectator. He's not part of the Eidus. He's not mitzvah to the cotton. If we're not going to ask the question whether he's a Kohen or apostle or not, that's how we're going to solve that problem. So let's go back to Rebbe now. Amosai, when do we say that nimtza echad me'am karav apostle, that one bad apple spoils the bunch, that's only hisru b'hem, that all these edim, including the apostle, gave a hasra and demonstrated therefore that he wants to be part of the kat. If there was no hasra, then what are we going to do in the following scenario? And the answer is we're going to say that one of those psulim is going to avoid, he's going to deliberately omit any active participation, and therefore he removes himself from candidacy of part of the cut. Let's take a look at Rashi, four lines up from the bottom. Bizman she hisru, says Rashi, hakarav apostle. Hisru is referring to the karav of the apostle. Shegilu biovre avera, right? They gave a warning to the person who's about to commit the crime. Shegilu datam, all right, underline those two words in Rashi. Gilu datam, they have revealed their intention. Sha'af hem, even they, nasim eidim, became eidim. And they showed up in Bezdin. So all the conditions were met. Because number one, they saw the test, the action, the incident. Number two, they gave a hasra, which indicates that what gilu daitam shaf heim nasim edim, and now they show up in Bezdin. Now we have a problem because one of them is apostle and he spoils the bunch. Varei kosev hikish losha. You have to add the word lishnayim here. That's what he adds here in my text here in the Hagos v'Tziyunim. There's a hekish here between three and two. Levatel ha'edus in yesh karav apostle. Meaning, just like in the case of two edim, if one of them is a karav apostle, we throw it out. So too in the case of three edim, if one of them is a karav apostle, we throw out the edus. Avolo hisru ha'karav apostle be'over avera. If the karav wants to drop out, he doesn't want to be part of the team, of the cat, and he doesn't want to qualify as an aide as part of the cat, and he wants to break up the tier of cat. So what does he do? How does he demonstrate that he doesn't want to be part of the cat? Elish shasku. What does shasku mean? Silent. He doesn't give what? He doesn't give us, right? In this case, silence is golden, not for the nido, not for the murderer. For him, it's really curtains, if you know what I mean. Because if this apostle was shosek and he didn't give the asra, he has removed himself from the edus, and now tiskayim edus v'shar, we could be mekayim it with the other two ksherim, haksherim hisru behem. They gave asra. They demonstrated that gilu daitam. Shehem nasim edim. Again, I emphasize those words in Rashi, four lines up from the end of the daf. Gilu daitam shehem nasim edim. And we can be mekayim the edus b'shah. That's Rebbe. Ein anu nasim edim. Those who omitted and were quiet, they omitted the hasra, they demonstrated they're not part of the kat. And tiskayim edus b'shah will pick up the edim who are ksherim, who gave the hasra, and will be able to be mekayim the edus, and therefore we can judge in a case of dini nefashos. So we're going to say the following. According to Rebbe, is echad dinei momenos echad dinei nefashos. The principle of nimtzach and memkar apostle edus and betel applies even in dinei momenos. But the emasai, only when we have a tziruf kat, only when the apostle or the karov is part of the kat. And what makes him part of the kat? Is Bisman Shehisru Bahem. They gave the Asra. They actively demonstrated that they are part of the Kat. If they decide, I don't want to be part of the Kat, all they need is Shtika, and they won't give the Asra. Bisman Shalo Hisru Bahem. Now we have an answer to the problem that we're going to ask here on Daf Tesamid Beis. What do we do in the case of three witnesses, two of which are related? The one who's related, or one of the two who's related, will omit. He will be silent, omitting the asra. By omitting the asra, he removes himself from what? From the kat. Once he removes himself from the kat, we no longer apply the principle of nimtza echad me'am karov apostle. Rabbi, I'm just curious, how many people in the room are learning this either yesterday or today, I don't know, for the first time around? Am I succeeding in
In Yiddish we say hacking a rein. I don't know, you ever hear that phrase? It's hard to translate. Hack a rein and cup a rein.
Beating it down.
Beating it into your head until finally, you know, you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't forget Nimtz Echem and Karv Apostle. You know, because Rabbi Berzon screamed it into my ears. Somebody dies, I can't forget it. And if I have to scream into your ears, Tziruf Kat a million times. So Rebbe says that in order to be tzar for you to the Kat, you have to give Asra. If you omit Asra, your Shosek, then you demonstrate you don't want to be part of the Kat. If you're not part of the Kat, I couldn't care less whether you're a Karv Apostle, because we have to Skaim Edusa Bashar, we can be Makaim the Edus. So now let's get back to Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. So we have a number of witnesses, let's call it three witnesses, testifying on behalf of the Baal that they saw this woman in the last year having a znus relationship with another man. So now the question is, do we need three judges in this case, or do we need 23 judges in this case? So Rav Meir says three judges are enough. Why? Says Ravina. Right, Ravina is four lines down from the top, just so we know who we're talking about today. We're talking about Ravina. We're talking about a case where one of the three witnesses was a Karv Apostle. Rabbi Meir says, like Rabbi Yossi, that we throw out the entire Kat. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi holds that Nimtza Echemem Karv Apostle in Dinei Nefashos is an absolute rule that Edusam B'Tela, even if that third witness omitted Asra, the very fact that he saw the testimony, he saw the event took place, he was there at the Maisa's Nus, and he intended to give testimony, again, he didn't give the Asra, fine. The other two Edom gave the Asra, he relied on them, he becomes part of the Kat. And therefore, the good news is for this woman, that the Kat is completely possible, Edusam B'Tela. Hence, Rabbi Meir says the maximum number of judges we need is the judges for a monetary case, namely how many? Three judges. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yossi. But Chachamim say you need 23 judges, and we can use these Edim, despite the fact that one of the three Edim is a Karv Apostle, because the Chachamim hold like Rabbi's interpretation, Rabbi Akiva. Says Rabbi Meir Amosai, when do we assume and apply the principle of what? Of Nimtzechet and Karv Apostle, that's only if there was a Tziruf through Hasra. And if there was no Tziruf through Hasra, then the fact that the Apostle is there doesn't bother me, because he's excluded from the Kat. Why is he excluded from the Kat? Because he didn't give what? Hasra. The fact that he shows up in Beis Din is irrelevant, and we give him a Kayim the Edus Bashar. If that be the case, we have here in front of us a bona fide Dine Nefashos. We have a capital case because we have two Edim Ksherim. The fact that the third Ed is what? Is apostle is irrelevant because he's not part of the Kat. Why isn't he part of the Kat? Because he didn't give Asra. I'll read to you the summary here of the Masifta. He writes, Nimtza, Sheravina Mamidis Mishnah Seinu. What's the case of that Mishnah? This is what you call an Ukibta. The Mishnah is the Ofen Zen, in this case, Shashlishi Nimtza Karav Apostle, Rosh Ezinsa, the third aid saw and was a spectator at the time of the Znus, but below Hisraba, he omitted a Asra. It was a deliberate decision, as Rashi would say, Gila Daito She'eno Nasa Eid. Why? Because Rebbe said in order to have Tziruf Kat, you need to give Asra. You have to demonstrate actively that you're part of it. Rabbi Meir Sover Shafal Pichin, even though he didn't give Asra Mitztarifu Vuposel Esacherim, and therefore Enkan Dini Nefashos Ulekach Dai Bishlosha Lodunis Dini Mamino Shall Have Sidak Suba V'Rabbanan Savri She'eno Mitztarif Leposlam. Again, which is a big kula in Edus, that we could be Masha the Edus despite the third Edus Apostle. But it's a big chumrah in terms of the Isha, because now that we're going to be kind of the Edus, she's going to be put to death based on these two Edim. Nidonis al pa do some lemisa is bepesin shel shloshim v'shloshim v'shlosha esrim v'shlosha. Sorry, we need a bezin of 23. Why? Because again, let's just hack a riding cup according to Chachamim, based on the sheet of Rebbe, we limit the principle of Rabbi Akiva of Nimtza Echad Mehem karvu pasul, and we only apply it to those who gave asra. And therefore, as Rashi says, megale daitum shehem chelik me'aedus, they're part of the edus. But in a case where the nimtza echad mehem karvu pasul did not give asra, says Rebbe, and this is going to reflect the sheet of the Chacham, he's not part of the cat. If he's not part of the cat, is he the rotten apple to spoil the bunch? No, he's not going to spoil the bunch. Hence, how many judges do we need? 23, because we're dealing with a capital case.
I don't get that.
Okay, that's it. If we get that, we're over the hump.
I think I understood everything else, including the comparison between Rebbe versus Chachamim and Meir versus Rebbe, Yossi versus Rebbe, but I don't catch where the 23 come in for the Chachamim.
Yeah. The question is, when these three Eidim come in,
right,
can we use them for a capital punishment? In other words, can we put this woman to death?
Ah, okay. We're talking...
If we can put this woman to death, then how many judges do we need?
23.
If we cannot, if the edus is possible and disqualified, we need no more than three judges, because all we have is a monetary case. Now,
okay.
Three edim came in, three witnesses. Can we use them for dini nefashos?
Can I just say a little bit more slowly?
Yeah. Sorry. Am I going too fast? I got very excited about this. Sorry.
I can see.
Three witnesses came in.
Right.
Okay, we'll call them Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. Okay, but don't think that just because I call them Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, I mean they're all brothers. Shimon and Levi are brothers, but Reuven is not related.
Okay.
Comes along Rabbi Meir, and he says, you know what? If Shimon and Levi are related, that's it. We're going to apply the principle of Rabbi Akiva, and that's Rabbi Yossi Shita, and we're going to throw out the whole business. Why? Because Shimon and Levi are related.
And you only need three.
And so if Shimon and Levi are related, right? Then we're in deep trouble. Why? Why? As far as the Eidus is concerned, again,
we don't have three.
I don't need three Eidim. All I need is two Eidim.
Judges, right? I'm sorry.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So Rabbi Meir says that although I only need two Eidim, but the existence of the third Eid is like the rotten apple that we spoke about, and it disqualifies the entire enterprise, the entire Kat Eidus.
Mm-hmm.
And why is that? Because of the principle of Rabbi Akiva called Nimtza Echemem Karov Opasul, one of them, again, there are three witnesses, we should say two of them are kosher, that's pretty good. No, is a Dusa B'Tela, we have to throw out the eight. Hence, according to Rabbi Meir, in this case where the third witness is related, we cannot in any shape or form deal with Dine Nefashos, because the Eidus is Pasul, and that's the principle called Nimtza Echemem Karov Opasul, a Dusa B'Tela. Hence, all we need is three judges, because there's no way, no how, we can use these Eidim to condemn this woman to death, because one of these three Eidim is a Karav or Apostle. So far, so good. Comes along Rebbe, and the Chachamim are going to stand on the shoulders of Rebbe, and Rebbe says, no, this is not a case of Nimtzechim and Karav Apostle. The third witness, who's a Karav or Apostle, did not give a Hasra. And if he didn't give the Hasra, he demonstrates that he's not part of the Kat. Again, you'll ask me, why does he show up in Beis Din? I don't know. We'll have to deal with that question. He's an idiot, pardon the expression. He's stupid on his part to show up in Beis Din. But he showed up in Beis Din, we're going to tell him to go home. Because we're going to just ask him one question. Did you give Hasra? He's going to say, no, I didn't give Hasra. If you didn't give Hasra, you're not part of the Kat. Sorry, buddy. No membership. And that's good news for the other two witnesses. It's very bad news for the woman who's on trial. And the Chacham are going to say, hence I need 23 judges, because in the context of this Eidus, which is kosher, because the two kosher are witnesses, and we're going to drop the third witness off because he didn't give Asra, says Rebbe, he's not part of the Tziruv Kat, then we have a Dine Nefashos case. We have a capital case, and we need 23 judges. Do we have it?
Yes.
All right. Now I want to show you something interesting in Tosfos. Now, when you look at this Tosfos, Bizman, on Daf Tesamen Aleph, you would rightfully get scared out of your wits. And you're right, 100% correct. So I can't deal with this whole Tosfos, but I do want to learn with you the first five lines of Tosfos. That's as far as I got. Because those five lines itself took me ages. But that's what I was able to understand. Now, keep in mind that this machlokes between Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe And for that matter, the original statement of Rabbi Akiva of Nimtzechem Ben Karav Apostle as a Dusan Betela is codified not here. This is a graft. The original is in Masechta Makis on Daf Heyamid Beis, actually in a Mishnah. How do I know it's a Mishnah? Because if you take a look at Ravin Omar, Kigon, Shinimsech, Mikar, Apostle, and Kamifli, Beplukti, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi, Alid, Rabbi Kiva, Disnan. You see the word Disnan, which is about seven lines down from the top. So the word Disnan is a reference to a Mishnah. And this is a Mishnah in Masechta Makis. So the entire Gemara here, from the word Disnan until the beginning of Daf Tes Amid Beis here in Sanhedrin, is just a graft of, it's a clone, if you will, of the Mishnah in Masechta Makis. The Gemara in Masechta Makis, you see the first word in Tosfos is Mefarish. Right, what does that word Mefarish mean? To interpret. Yeah? I'm nervous here. I'm not sure we all have the same place. Okay, so on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, there's this gigantic Tosfos.
Right.
It takes up like a third of the page.
Mm-hmm. I have that.
And it starts with the word Bizman Shehisru Bahen. And the first word in Tosfos is Mefarish.
Okay.
Now, usually, the word Mefarish is a reference to Rashi, that Rashi interprets it. Here, it's a reference to the Sugya, to the Gemara itself. The Gemara analyzes the Mishnah that we've been studying here, which again, we're seeing it here in Sanhedrin, but the original is there in Masechta Makis, Perakava de Makis. And based on this Mishnah in Masechta Makis, the Gemara says that we have to introduce, especially according to Rebbe, the concept of Tziruf Kat. Now, in the context of Tziruf Kat, in order to decide who's part of this unit of testimony, we have to ask a preliminary question. There's a preliminary question that we have to raise to the witnesses before we even deal with their testimony and the content of their testimony. And what we have to ask him is the following. Hachi amrina lehu. The following, hachi means the following, amrina, we say lehu to them. In other words, the judges, even before they're willing to hear the case and listen to the testimony of the witnesses, this is what they turn to the edim and they say the following. Le'ashahude asisu, o le'mechze asisu. Let's try to break that down. The word asisu, which appears twice, means you came. We're going to ask them, A or B? Did you come for A or did you come for B? Now, where are they coming to? I don't know. It could be they came to the scene of the crime and they witnessed the crime. It could be they came to Beis Din to testify. I don't know at this point. Let's assume, if you'll grant me this license, that it means, did you come to see the crime? That's called le'ashude. Now, let's just take, this is an Aramaic word. The noun is sahadusa, which means testimony. If you conjugate it as a verb, it's le'ashude. Take out the lamed. Lamed means for the sake of. Right, that's a prefix. But the word itself in a verb form is ashude. Asisu, you came. That's a question mark. The first possibility, and they have to answer yes or no, is you came le'ashude for the purpose of testifying. We're both saying, what does that mean? What are we basically asking the Aden?
Are the Aden part of the cut?
Again, we're asking, are you part of the cut? But what's going to determine at this particular... No, the Gemara doesn't mention a word about Hasra. We'll add the Hasra because of our Gemara here and so forth. But just in terms of the literal translation, how do you think on a literal level, what is the question that we're asking the witnesses if we're talking about Las Asisu, that Asisu means you came to witness the crime, right? Let's say the crime takes place here. I'm drawing a line, okay? And you're here. You walked from here to here. Okay, why did you walk from here to here? What are the two possible answers? The first answer is le'asahude. And the second answer is le'michse. Le'michse means to see it. The first answer was la'asude. What does la'asude mean?
To witness
it. Okay, what's the difference between A and B? Did you go there to witness it, or did you go there to see it? David, give me your word again.
Gawking.
What are we asking the Eidim now?
Are you a
when you walked over here, from here to here, you know, you remember, like, that's, I keep giving you this example, you know, when they blow out the, what's it called? They blast out the ground, the foundation, you know, you've seen it, right?
Construction.
Yeah. For construction. Like, for example, Ground Zero, right? They rebuilt the towers, and they didn't exactly build it as high as they did the first time around, but they did a pretty good job, right? So imagine you're there. What's the name of the street in Lower Manhattan? I forget what it's called. Anyway,
Wall Street, but it's not on Wall Street.
Yeah, it's one of those small streets off Wall Street. You know, you walked over there. Can you imagine how many people walked over there? This was a momentous occasion when they were trying to replace the Twin Towers, right? I don't know how many years ago. This must be about
2001.
Is that when they started rebuilding it? It took a while, I think. It took
10 years or so to redo it.
Right, but when did they start the process? Not immediately after the tragedy. Yeah, a couple of years later. So imagine, you know this. So that's what I asked. That's called a mechseos. You know, I call it curiosity. I don't know. It's probably a better psychological word for it. But there are all sorts of motivations why you want to see an event, right? So, for example, if you're a member of Hatzolah, there's an accident on the thing, so you're coming there because you want to see if you could help the person, right? But other people they're just curious. I never understood the mentality, but that's quite humanly common, right? So that's called a mechseh asisu. So now, Jerry, let's go back to your question, namely tziruf ka. What's the first question that we want to ask the witnesses in order to establish whether they are mitzuref to the kat, they are part of the kat, or they're not part of the kat? What's the first question we're going to ask them? No, again. Listen to four words.
Did you come?
Can you hear Rabosai? Four words. This is Tosis is quoting a Gemara in Masechta Makis. Again, if I had a Gemara Makis, I'd show it to you inside if you don't trust Tosis. But you can trust Tosis. They're very reliable Tosis. The Gemara says that Amrinan, this is what we say to the witnesses before we even get into the details. Quote, Lasahude Asisu or Lemechse Asisu? What is the first question that has to be raised in order to determine Tziruf Ka? Forget about Asraya. We're not, so Asraya is already, you know, very sophisticated. You're already.
What was the motivation?
Correct. Why did you go to see the crime? Did you go to see it, or you intended to what? What was your intention? To testify. See, if you intended to testify, we begin to understand there's a tzir of kat, because in testimony there are two critical moments, time T1 and time T2. Time T1 is the sight of the crime, the witnessing of the crime, and time T2 is the testimony in Bezdin. How do we link these two together? Well, the answer is that he saw it for the purpose of testifying. That's called le'asahu de'asisa. If they answer yes to that part, to that first question, then we can already be mitzarif to the kat. Why? Excuse me, why? Because there's already a connection between the moment that they saw the crime and the moment that they testify. Again, it could be 5 months in between. I don't know, it could come up a day later. I don't know how long it'll be until they testify. But in any event, we've already locked these eidim, so to speak, into place. And when they testify in the Bezdin, which could be a month later, whenever it is, that testimony already was built into the moment they saw the crime. Because what was there? What was their intention when they saw the crime? Lasidu, to give edus. We now have a tziruf between what's called re'ia and haggadah, because the re'ia was done for the purpose of edus. And now when they come into Beis Din, they're just fruitionizing, they're reaching fruition in what they saw. Because they saw it for the purpose of what? Of testimony. Oh, Lemechse Asisu, you came because you were curious. You were a gawker. If you were a gawker, then there's no relationship between your Re'iyah and your Haggadah. You know, you happen to have seen the crime. Rabbi Osai, please don't misunderstand me. What I'm about to say is just to give you a psychological explanation of the Gemara. This is not really the way Allah operates, so I'm really misleading you. But on a psychological level, there's a major difference between someone who has in mind that he is going to testify. Again, we'll get to Asra in just a minute. And someone who's just, he's curious. You know, he takes out his phone and he starts taking pictures. You know, he does the selfies and all, you know what I'm saying? You know, the guy's dying on the ground and he's going to take a selfie with the guy. You know, this is, you know, in contemporary life, I mean, we've seen things like this. Mm-hmm. You know, what sounds in the Gemara to be totally crazy. I mean, today is like, people, this whole idea of a selfie, I mean, it's unbelievable. The industry has changed. I mean, And now they have the most sophisticated ways of taking a selfie. You know, you buy yourself that stick over there, you know, the whole geschichte, you know what I'm saying? And who knows what's going to be the next step. I mean, Rav Moshe, things are moving so fast that if we'll ever come back to live as a Gilgal Neshama later on, we won't recognize life at all. Things are moving so fast. Who can believe what's going on? I gave a lecture in the OU about privacy on the internet. It's so complicated. What exactly are you allowed to, you know, the people who fish, they mine the internet. They can know more about you than you know about yourself because of the different things you've done on the internet. And they sell this information publicly because they know that they're people marketing. They want to know what size shirt you want to buy. You're saying so. That's how quick society is moving. So anyway, I got off a little on a tangent. So we're getting back to the Gemara. So we have here that question. E Amri, I'm going on in Tosfos if you're looking. E Amri, if they respond, Lasu de Asina, we came to see the crime because we intended to give testimony. Then when they come to Beis Din, we now have a tziruf between their original intention at the time of the witnessing and the fruition, you know, when it cuts ice and they finally come to Beis Din. And guess what? This fellow who said, La Sude Asino, I came to testify, that's why I went to see the crime, and my intention was to testify. Now he shows up at Beis Din, and guess what? He's a Karavar apostle. Now we apply Rabbi Akiva's principle. Nimtza Echemem Karav apostle, a dusam b'teila. And now here is going to be the machlokas, if you can focus, between Rabbi Yossi and Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi says the following. Tziruf kat requires two things, and two things only. Number one, Lasude Asina, I came there to see the crime and testify. And two, I actually am here in Beis Din, Shalom Aleichem, I'm here to testify. Rebbe says we need a third condition. And that's what, Jerry? Asra. Finally, I'm waiting for the word Asra. But what, do you understand why I was a little premature? Now we're ready for Rebbe. Rebbe's going to say, okay, he had in mind to give testimony. He was a serious guy. He wasn't one of these, hold your camera up kind of guys, right? But he's got to demonstrate. He has to demonstrate his, at the time of the incident, the time of the murder, or in this case, time of the znus, he must objectify and demonstrate that he has that intention. How does that intention become crystal clear, says Rebbe? Hasra. If he omits Hasra, then that's a tarti disaster. That he undermines his intention to testify. Now again, some people ask me, is he such a scholar? You know, to be a witness, you have to know something. You can't be a total ignoramus. So he has to know that if he wants to be part of the Kat, and I'm hoping that in this case he won't be part of the Kat, because he's a car of apostles, he's going to, according to Rabbi Akiva, upset the apple cart. But if he wants to be part of the Kat, then according to Rebbe, he has to go one step further. It's not enough that his intention was to testify, that's why he came to see the scene of the crime, but moreover he gave a hasra. Rabbi Yossi says, name, I don't need that condition. Is Nimtzechem and Karav Apostle Edusim B'Telo. The Iyamri Lemechze Asina, if they admit that they only were there as, you know, as gawkers, you know, it was a curious, is then Ma Yasu Shnei Achim. You're going to tell me that... It's unbelievable. Tosis, in a few lines, I'm just giving you a preview of Coming Attractions, talks about a get. Could you now a get, in order to be valid, has to be delivered in front of two witnesses. A get is a pretty public kind of thing. In fact, I don't know if you've ever seen Gittin. You know, if you want, you could visit the Batei Dinim, especially Tel Aviv. It's like a what do they call it? A cookie. It's like a manufacturing thing. You know, one get after the other, and you can learn a lot if you go the about Hil- if you're interested in Hilfus Gittin. I'm saying that not just to be a Metzi, not just to be a Gawker, but I'm saying. But what you'll notice is that the relatives of the wife are ready and eager to take out a bottle of schnapps and celebrate. There's such a backlog, they are just waiting for the moment that she gets the gift. Because this is a result of months and months, and also it's the Beis Din won't give the get until they get clearance from the courts, you know, the settlement and blah 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 and all this, you know, who gets the child, and you know, it's immensely complicated. So finally, that moment of all moments comes about, and she gets the get. Boom! She closes her hand on the get. Time to celebrate. Pop the bottle of the champagne. How many people are watching this get? I don't know how many, but one thing I can promise you, there are a bunch of relatives who are watching this get. Because they got in the sal, in their basket, they got their bottle of champagne. And nobody's going to stop them from coming into the courtroom to watch the get. Because we've been waiting for this for a long time. So why don't we apply the principle of Nimtza Echem Mem Karuv Apostle? Because they're gawkers. If they're not gawkers, they could possibly get. And that's something that Rebbe couldn't tolerate. Rebbe wants to know what are the conditions that you can't just say, well, I'm a relative and I decided I want to be part of the kat. Because what that means is basically you're undermining the kat. And that's the inkei mayasa. Yeah, this is really cool. Imagine the following. I shouldn't say cool, but Reuven wants to kill Shimon. He's already planned it. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to invite three witnesses, two of which are our brothers. It's a great scam. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can orchestrate a murder in such a way that by definition they won't be able to prosecute you. That's the MK Mayasa. That's what Rebbe is yelling and screaming. There's got to be some sort of condition here of Tziruf Kat. Give me a way in which this brother could decide that he's not part of the Kat. So Rebbe says, unless he gives the Hasra, he's not part of the Kat. The Hasra demonstrates that he's part of the Kat. He ignores it, he omits it, he's not part of the Kat. Then we can be Machshavei Dusa Bashar. We have two Kasher Edim, and we'll judge this person, and that's the Chachamim and our Mishnah require a Beis Din of how many? 23 judges. Rabbi Yossi somehow is not worried about this. But even Rabbi Yossi says there are two conditions for Tziruf Kat. Number one, La Sihude Asinon, as opposed to La Metze Asinon. You know, we're not going to say that all these spectators who are watching a get, they're all part of the Kat. They're not interested in testimony. They're there simply because this is the glorious moment that their mother or their sister or their daughter is going to finally be free of this love, if you pardon the expression, right? And she can marry someone else. So then there is gawkers. Then there's no Tziruf Kat. Why? Because we need a positive answer to the question Lasidu Asasi. And if they don't give an answer to that, they give an answer to Lemetze Asisu, then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that they're not part of the Kat. Venerally, to be shum din iskavnu lahayid, let's say their answer was yes, Lashude Asisu. We went to see in order to testify. Lo Amrinim Nimtzechem Mekarav Apostle. That's not enough for Tziruf Kat. Elo Shaholchem Umeidim Kulam Bebezdin. So what's the second condition? And this is even according to Rabbi Yossi.
They have to come together.
That they come into Bezdin. And they have to come together as one. Avol Mishum Re'iyo Lechud. Just because they saw the event, the episode, shenist kavnu lahayid, and they had definite intention to testify, lo. Right? So again, we need we need a condition that they came to testify. That's why they came to see the event. But that's not enough. They also have to show up in Beis Din to testify. So we need Re'il L'shem Eidus and Hagadol L'shem Eidus. Two conditions have to be met. And that's even before Rebbe. The Elo Temahachi, if you don't say so, Kol HaGitin, or any get, Kshenosnim also, if they Krovim Apsulim, there are a lot of Krovim Apsulim are there, you Psulim Yiskavnu Echad L'hoid. But let's say one of these Psulim thinks that, you know what, maybe my sister will need an extra witness in case, you know, she loses her documents or something like that. I better have in mind to be a witness. That's not enough. He will passel the cat when he shows up in Beis Din. And any good lawyer will tell him, will discourage him from showing up to Beis Din because he will mess up his own sister, if you follow me. Well, Rabbi Yossi, okay, then he goes on to Rabbi Yossi. Okay, fine. Now, Rabbi Osai, I want to go on to Daf Tes Amid Beis, but here...
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please. I'm sorry.
Maybe it's covered later on, but... Because I did study Sanhedrin before, but
oh, great!
Well, Daf Yom, not in depth like this.
You remind me of the famous joke. A guy says to his friend, "I'm making a siyum on 6,000. I've just finished Shas, 6,000 pages." So his friend says to him, 6,000 pages? There's no 6,000 pages in Shas." So he says, "I meant I'm making a siyum on Art Scroll Shas, which you multiply each page by four. Actually, probably by six or eight. You know, but yeah."
Okay, you said the witnesses have to show up in court together, but they don't have to show up at the crime scene together. But they got to be there together.
Yeah, we'll see later on. I don't know if we're going to get to that here. It's in Masechta Makos because they have to see each other also at the time of the incident. Yeah. So here I want to add another point. Just this is more of a technical point, but it's important that we mention this, and that is the fact that, just one second here. Oh, Rabbi Yossi in Masechta Makos, we were learning Rabbi Yossi in Masechta Makos Daf Hey, but on Daf Vav, just one blot later in Masechta Makos, Rabbi Yossi says that we cannot put an accused criminal to death until the witnesses themselves give asra. In other words, it's not enough that someone else gives the hasra, but rather the witnesses themselves have to give the hasra. I'll read to you the language. He says, "Ein hanidon nerag, the accused will not be put to death, ad sheyisru bo edav." In other words, the Edim, in order to testify, have to give the Asra, and if someone else gives the Asra, that person is not a witness, and if the Edim themselves did not give the Asra, they cannot serve as witnesses. We must have an absolute overlap in which two functions will be fulfilled by the same two people, meaning the two Edim. Number one, they will give Asra, and number two, they will testify. So the testimony has to be predicated on the fact that they gave Asra. So now we have a real problem, because then even according to Rabbi Yossi, the Edom are going to have to give Asra. And if one of the Edom did not give Asra, then he cannot serve as an aid, because again, according to Rabbi Yossi, the aid has to wear two hats. He has to, number one, be the master, he has to give the Asra, number two, then he can be the aid. So this third witness, which this is the case of Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, right, having introduced Rabbi, is a case where the third witness did not give a hasra. Even according to Rabbi Yossi in such a case, let's assume we link up Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yossi, even according to Rabbi Yossi in this case, Tiskayim ha'edus b'shar, the edus will be k'shera, because the third witness, the apostle, didn't give a hasra. Do you follow? So it comes out that if you study Rabbi Yossi on Daf Vav Amid Beis, you come to the conclusion that even Rabbi Yossi himself would agree that if the third aid, who's the Karev apostle, did not give Asra, he doesn't upset the apple cart, and the Eidus is still Ksheira. So how do we link up Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yossi by saying that the third aid didn't give Asra, therefore according to the Chachamim, we can exclude him from the cat? Rabbi Meir includes him in the cat, because Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yossi. Well, in fact, Rabbi Yossi will say he's excluded from the cat because he didn't give Asra. So Tosus points out, and that's this gigantic Tosus Bizman, which we didn't finish, that our Gemara is analyzing Rabbi Yossi simply from the perspective of the Mishnah on Daf Heyam and Beis, so to speak, ignoring what Rabbi Yossi happens to hold on Daf Vavam and Beis. So it's a little bit tricky when we say that Rabbi Meir here and now in Mishnah in Sanhedrin is standing on the shoulders of Rabbi Yossi. That's not really accurate. No, you can't really link up Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yossi. We can only link up Rabbi Meir with Rabbi Yossi as Rabbi Yossi is mentioned in the first of two Mishnayos, and that's the Mishnah Daf Hey Amid Beis, because there Rabbi Yossi seems to indicate that even in the absence of Hasra, you become part of the Kat. But in fact, Rabbi Yossi, for another reason, is going to say that you're not part of the cat. You can't be kosher lahayid because the Eidim themselves have to give hasra. Basically, just for your own understanding, according to Rabbi Yossi on Daf Vav Amid Beis, Eidus, in its relationship to the condemnation, to the ultimate psak that this person is chayv misa, has to be a self-enclosed entity. Do you follow me by, maybe you can give me a better phrase for it in English. Self-enclosed means that all the conditions are met within the Eidim, without going outside the circle of the Eidim.
Self-contained.
Self-contained, excellent. So it's got to be a self-contained. So in order to be self-contained, we need the witnesses themselves give the Hasra. Because otherwise, you can't put this person to death. Unless you have a Hasra from somewhere else, but then it's not self-contained.
I'm confused. I thought it's the witnesses that have to give the Hasra.
That's what I'm saying. Why? The logic of Rabbi Yossi is, why do the witnesses have to give the Hasra? Let somebody else give the Hasra if he's not a witness.
Yeah.
You know, he's on the other side, but okay. he'll use a foghorn or something. You know, he's got a microphone, whatever it is.
Okay.
The answer is because of this concept of self-contained.
Okay.
In other words, the Eidim can take us from A to Z, from beginning to end. The entire enterprise of putting this person to death can be achieved by these two witnesses. And any condition you need in order to put this person to death has to be contained within the Eidim, including Asra. So the fact that somebody else yells at Asra, that's not going to be sufficient. That's the sheet that Rabbi Yossi on that Vav on the Beis. If that be the case, then if you have a third witness who didn't give Asra, he can't serve as a witness because he doesn't have that self-contained element, that condition. Okay. How many minutes do we have left? We have 3 more minutes?
Yeah.
What you're describing would suggest that that's probably the reason why there were so few people put to death.
Yeah, the Mishnah says actually at the end of the first parak of Makkos, if a bezdin puts someone to death every 70 years.
Yeah.
You know, that raises a lot of questions. You know, I don't want to get into this because there are probably many liberal-minded people here in this room, and that's the nature of our society today. You know, we don't like putting people to death. Yesh Lodim, I'm not voting for a certain party because they don't recognize my particular vision of life. But one thing they're right about is that we should put these people to death.
Jew versus non-Jew. We're talking about the same
thing. You're right.
With Jews.
You're correct. You're correct. You're right. It's not a good sushtel. You know,
comparison.
Our friend Lieberman is talking about the terrorists. But still, I think the concept of a cap. I don't know where are the winds blowing in America today. In which direction? I don't know if you could.
That's 50.
In Texas, yeah. Or Florida.
No, exactly. I'm asking. if I would freeze the year, what are we up to? 2019, right?
Yeah.
If I would freeze that year, and then fast forward by 10 years or so, or let's say I freeze like 10 years ago and compared to today, are more states removing the death penalty or adding the death penalty?
Removing.
Some reinstated. I mean, it's going both ways.
Yeah, it's going both ways.
Yeah, but they get on.
Because honestly,
they sit on death row for 20 years. Yeah.
Honestly, in the society that we live in today, again, you'll be mocking me for saying this, but I really think they should reinstitute the death penalty. It's just it's ridiculous. Now, of course, as a Jew, I have a particular axe to grind because anti-Semitism is so severe. Again, would that be a deterrent? Basically, I don't know. Probably not. Okay, maybe that's what the issue is. You know, is the death penalty in reality a deterrent or not? But be that as it may, you know, the fact that Beis Din would not institute the death penalty because there's so many conditions, you know, that might have been good at the time of the Mishnah. I don't know today. Again, you're right, we can differentiate between Jews and non-Jews, but I'm just saying the death penalty is not such a bad idea. You know, when I was a kid, I you know, as I was brought up in a very open-minded liberal society, it always bothered me that the Torah was in favor of the death penalty. You know, how can the Torah advocate the death penalty? You know, to me, it irked me, you know, it jarred me a little bit. But as I get older, not because I'm a greater scholar, but I just because of contemporary society, I have more of a sympathy towards the halacha, you know, that there is such a thing. Okay, so I just finished with a little joke, a little story. My father, may rest in peace, had a very close childhood chum. His name was, I think Mitch, you'll relate to this name. I don't know if anyone else will relate to the name. Rabbi Moshe Beis Din. Rabbi Moshe Beis Din. In fact, in college, they used to seat them in the college classes by alphabetical order, the first letter of your last name. So it was Beis Din and Berzon were next to each other. But Moshe Beis Din was my father's closest friend in childhood. They were mamish chubs. They both came from Litha. They were greeners in America. And they were learning in yeshiva together by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and by Dr. Revel. And I'll tell you the following story about Rav Moshe Beis Din. You know, his name was not Beis Din. His original name was Beis Dansky. His father, Rav Moshe Beis Din's father, was a Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. How many of you have heard of a yeshiva in America in Brooklyn called Chaim Berlin? So they used to call Beis Dansky Olvashom, that Rosh Yeshiva, the kinui, you know, the on-the-street nickname, was the electric chair. Meaning he was the executor. Why? Every Friday, he would call in another boy from his class and seat him down in a certain chair and then fire questions at him to see if he remembered what they learned and if he understood for the whole week. So the boys used to call that chair the electric chair. So when I was thinking about, you know, this concept of giving out the you know, the capital punishment, I think of Rav Moshe Beis Din. I don't remember his first name, but Rav Moshe Beis Din's father, Rav Beis Dansky, is a Rosh Yeshiva in Chaim Berlin. And my father says that the boys in the yeshiva were so afraid of Friday. It was like, you know, who's going to get called to be put onto the election chair, you know, on this particular Friday. You know, my father had one of the most famous cases of open heart surgery in the city of New York, and it's documented. Anyway, after the surgery, he was in an oxygen tent. They didn't have the sophisticated methods today. You know, I'm going back almost 70 years ago. So they put you in an oxygen tent and they pumped in oxygen, and that's how you were able to breathe. This is after his heart surgery. So Rav Moshe Beis Din came to visit my father. And they used to call my father Beryl Lev. That was his name back in the old country. So Rav Beis Din says to my father, "Don't worry, Berlev, we're going to say Tehillim for you in yeshiva." So my father couldn't respond because he was in this tent. He goes like this, meaning don't say Tehillim for me. So anyway, my father got out of the hospital. So the first thing Moshe Beis Din says to him, "What do you mean, Berlev? You told us not to say Tehillim for me." So my father said to him, "They said Tehillim for Moshe and he died. They said Tehillim for Dr. Revel and he died. I didn't want them to say Tehillim for me." That was my father's sense of humor. But he and Rav Moshe Beis Din were added by back. So under the chuppah, my father couldn't break the glass. And you know, people thought, if you can't break the glass, the whole wedding is off. And he starts and he pushes. Finally, he realizes that somebody pulled a prank on him. And they took the glass out and they put a schnapsglazel inside. Now, you can't break a schnapsglazel. So my father looks up and he says, "Where's my Shabazzin?" You know, right away, he knew who was the one who did it. All right, I wish everyone a great day.
Thank you.